ZLK in 0TR. In 0TR.
Great, good. Evening, Tom.
Evening, Patrick. Glad to hear you, buddy. Did you have a good day?
Enjoyed the weather, that's for sure.
Button here for some reason, I don't know why. The TV said I just got down here. Oh, I had a wonderful day. I went up to a friend's house, or farm, I should say, this afternoon, and shot 22s all afternoon, and just had a great time. It's been wonderful. We're supposed to drop down in the 50s tomorrow.
And then chance of rain Thursday. So, tried to make the best of it while we could.
Can't complain. I did get a new sprayer here, a 3-gallon one on a cart, and I wanted to try it out, but it was a lot more important to go out there and shoot targets. We were shooting 50 yards, and the first spinner target was about an inch, and then they went down from there, and there was 8 of them, and the last one was a quarter inch. Patrick, I couldn't believe it. I got 7 out of 8, and then the last one, it took me 2 shots to hit it.
Especially at 50 yards hitting a quarter inch. Don't know that I could see that.
Took through a 16 power scope, and the other one on the other rifle was 24 power. I'm not going to name any names right now. I'll text you. I don't say anything about anybody and what they own as far as firearms go. But I took a 22 with me. I didn't even fire it, but I fired, I think, 4 other ones, and, man, I really had a good time. Yeah, that last one, I think, is what it was, you know, the little round orange things that are on the bottom, the size of a coin, you know, and they start out big and go little. I think it had just been shot off, and all there was the stick hanging down, and he had painted it orange. And it was just a great deal of fun. The eye relief was off on every one of them for me. You know how you can't get a full view in the scope? So I had a heck of a time with that, but it was so much fun. It reminded me of being back up in Kansas.
KG4PFI.
And, Tom, I imagine I know who you're talking about there. Go ahead and pick it up, Don.
Foreign guy on here. Let's see, KG. Oh, that's Don. Hi, Don. How you doing?
No, he was only 5 feet away from the shooting. Yet, you know, he spins these yarns, and, you know, he suck you right into them. KG4PFI.
Well, say one thing, Don. The bench rest was awesome. I mean, stable as a rock of Gibraltar. It was handmade and shooting over sandbags. Wouldn't like you shooting offhand. Go ahead, Patrick.
It's kind of like those fishing stories, but instead of getting bigger, they're getting smaller.
Yeah, I think he was using a shotgun, too.
Boy, over there, probably a half mile or so away. I don't know how far away it was. And Bernice was with me, too. And she really enjoyed it. She just watched. She's so quiet. But she wanted to get out, and I asked if it was all right. And he said, bring her on up. We had a great time. But that guy over there in the other section, well, was shooting a 50 caliber, Patrick. God, my, that thing's loud.
It's like a small cannon going off.
I'd throw my $2.50 worth in.
Well, I'll just give you a 1 on that, and you only get 3, Don. But don't jump out of here. We love to hear you. Patrick, are you headed for home? You up? You left your truck and headed home?
I'm right here where Locust Hill and 101 split.
Must have had a good day. Or else your truck broke down.
noisy, Tom, and that other fella. I didn't catch him, but anyway, he's out there working, I know, or trying to get home, I guess. But I just thought I'd needle you a little bit.
We do that to each other all the time. We love it. Ain't that right, Patrick? That's KO4HKX, our net control on Sunday night. Go ahead, Patrick.
Needle him every chance you get, because I do.
Go on with him. Every time I get him on the radio, I talk to him. But sometimes, you know, you can't help yourself.
I'm just sitting here. I just brought up the computer, and Bernice likes to watch the FBI, and I set it up upstairs. She's up in the shower, and she'll be down a little bit. She's baking a pumpkin pie up there, and I hope she makes it out of the shower in time. The pumpkin pie, she said, had 50 more minutes to go. But I asked her if it was all right for me to come on down to the ready room here, and she said, yeah. So I just turned the radios on, and it was just a lot of fun. Then he had one squirrel in the middle, one up on the tree, and I don't have a problem with that. But one of them was going all over the place. We never did figure out why, and it was a very fine 22. Never seen one like it. But I used to shoot with a fellow named John Rocky. He's passed away now up in Kansas. And he was a nut. Now, I mean, tell you, he had 40 XB Remingtons, factory-made ones that were handmade, and 27-inch stainless steel barrels. And he'd always want me to shoot those things. And we were just shooting over the front end of about a 73 pickup, Chevrolet pickup, I guess it was. So we didn't have anything fancy, Patrick, but we sure had a lot of fun.
I have found a lot of times that's when you have more fun, is when you ain't worrying about all that fancy stuff trying to figure it out. You're just there to enjoy.
He's the one got the money now, and he likes that fancy stuff. Standby, I thought that'd bring him out, Patrick.
I'll catch you a little bit later.
Okay, Don. Be sure and come back. We enjoy you. Go ahead, Patrick.
Sounds like he had enough of you.
Bernice said two words the whole time we was up there, but she says, I like to listen. I learn more that way.
Before that, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so he meant for us to listen more than we talk.
About that when it comes to ham operators now.
Hey, we're backwards on that one. We talk more than we listen, but still good practice to listen when you can.
Well, I got, yesterday I didn't give them any oats, or the day before. Bernice had some goodies from the leftover in the kitchen. You know, only got 5 eggs. And I'd been getting 8, 9, 10 once in a while. So I they're going molten. Then I got to thinking, maybe they're on strike because I didn't give them any oats and corn. So I gave them oats and corn last night, and I got 8 1/4 eggs today.
That reminds me, Tom, I will not be able to come by Thursday. I have a meeting up in Hendersonville I got to get to as quick as I can.
Did you want to come by sooner than that? I don't know if she has enough up there or not, but I can always text you.
I got enough to make it till next Tuesday, if that would be okay.
You can look at all the cockeyed doctor's appointments. I got 2 tomorrow. Got a one for my foot, and they got a new insert for my shoe, and then an hour later I got an abdominal x-ray, just for the heck of it, I guess. I don't know. A bunch of stuff between now and the time that they get out their knives.
Did I get it all taken care of for you there, Tom? And sorry, I lost track of you there a little bit. I was paying attention to this wreck out here on 290.
My doctor's appointment's coming up, and I can't tell you the days when I'm down here in the basement. But just give me a text, and we'll see what we got. And if not, we'll get a little later in the week or the following week. I know we got to take Amy down some. And so I don't know when she wants to do that, but I hope they keep playing. They seem to do better when I give them the oats and the corn. They ain't got the brains God give a goose, but somehow I think they realize they got hosed over when they didn't get their oats.
Nature has a way of taking care of itself. We'll just get out of the way a lot of times. So, just chalk it up to that.
Well, my neighbor got him a new motor, a 408 stroker. It's a 350 bored out and 500 horsepower. Boy, it's a honey.
I bet it does sound good if he's got it running yet.
Well, as far as I know, it's not in the Camaro yet. He took that big block out. So if you know anybody wanting to buy a big block, they can really get a good deal on it. And it was almost 700 horsepower on the dyno.
Anybody right off, but I will definitely keep an ear peeled.
Well, if anyone's interested, I'll hook them up with him. And the other one was on a square tubing there yesterday sitting there, and boy, it's a honey. I'll send you a picture of it later. But you've seen lots of motors, though, I'm sure. It's air aspirated, and so is the big block one. I think it was a 429 or a 505, I don't know. But I know with the smaller carburetor on it, it dynoed 630. But that wasn't the carburetor that went on there. Now, this new one, he's going to put an 850 on it. That sounds big to me.
Carburetor for a small block, but 408 in order to be able to use it. And the big block was probably a 502 if it was a GM motor, which I'm assuming it is since you're putting it in a Camaro.
Yeah, Patrick. Yeah, it just fascinates me. My neighbors used to do that back in the early 50s and 60s. And just amazes me at you guys' talent to do that. But I asked him what a stroker meant, and he said it has a bigger crankshaft in it.
It's got different crank, different rods in it. That's where you get the stroke from. And then you get your measurements from how much volumetric air it pulls in. That's where you get your cubic inches or liters from.
In it. The other one sounded great, but he said you just can hardly keep it in the road. And he says there's no way that you can stomp that thing to the floor. He says just no way. But he put all new tires on it the other day and new wheels, and boy, it looks beautiful. And he's got the power steering installed now. He just put that in after he pulled this motor, and then he's going to put in air conditioning later on. Wants to make a driver out of it, but pretty radical driver, I'd say.
What he was doing, making something a little more streetable, a little more user-friendly so you can go cruising in it. Those old big blocks like that, when you get a lot of horsepower out of them, they're hard to drive on the road. Brakes don't work good, no power steering. They're made to go in a straight line.
He put fire brakes on it, and I think he wants to fix it up where his kids can drive it. And when I say kids, they're older and very successful kids and doing all right. But his daughter drove that big block to work one day, though. But, geez, you can hear that coming, you know, the bloop, 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 a long ways off. It just fascinates me. I never did get to ride in it with that much horsepower, but I'm going to make him take me on this. He put in an all-new dash. Everything's new on it. I guess you can buy every screw, nut, and bolt for these things to redo them anymore.
That's a big business now. There's companies out there just dedicated to the Camaro or the Nova or the Impala or Chevelle, you know. That's all they do. Mustang, you know, it just, you can buy every piece of the Mustang Repop, which is a reproduction, and build you a brand new 68 Mustang, or 66 Mustang, you know, whatever year you want, you can have you a brand new 2025.
Yeah, but you could. Well, a lot of guys get a lot of enjoyment out of that, and I like seeing them. But it's not my forte, I can tell you that for sure. The grandson, the youngest one now, he just started driving here about a month ago, and he got him a new car. And it's, it's 4 or 5 years old, 2018 or something like that, 2020. Yeah, 2020, I believe it is. It's pretty nice. But he's kind of a quiet kid compared to the older one. The older one's the ones that's in the cars, you know.
I got him a Mustang like the older one did. Or is he in the pickup truck messing with the headlights? Did you ever get them fixed?
DR. You know, he didn't call me back, Patrick. I don't know. But I told him exactly what you said and told him he needed to get that fixed. And you'd actually heard of trucks burning clear to the ground. I imagine that put some wind in his sails.
Some of this aftermarket stuff is not always cracked up to be, especially the cheap stuff on Amazon and China, as you call it.
And that, too. I agree with you. That truck, for what it is, it's an 07. It looked like a brand new truck. It'd been kept inside and everything. It really didn't have that high mileage on it. So it's really, really done him good. And he works for that bouncy house place, you know, in his spare time while he's going to school.
Job. Wasn't he the one working part-time at the dealership when he first got his license?
Exactly right. He did. Big old Dodge, I think it was, or up there on the Motor Mile. I think that's where it was at. He was changing Earl up there for him for quite a while. And going to school, too. He doesn't have to go as many hours now, and so he's got quite a bit of time off. Oh, I know he took one of those little Chinese trucks the other day that that guy has a speaker system and that on it, and he goes out to where the bouncy houses are. He owns a place. And Isaac and his buddy dropped the engine out in the garage, and I don't know what they replaced. I think the clutch and something else on the transmission, but they learned a lot down there at that Bonds.
Okay, well, that's good, because a lot of these guys coming out here working on cars that I see is very questionable.
You see it firsthand. Now, I think they should put more emphasis on electrical. And just in talking to him, I don't think they did. But, boy, the mechanical, they sure taught him well.
In my experience, the electrical is the part that it's not for everybody. Because mechanical, you can see it, you can touch it, you can take it apart. But electrical, you can't do that. You got to theorize how it all works and get it all in your mind. And sometimes that just don't work for everybody. And unfortunately, with the new cars, you're going to have a lot of electrical and a lot of computer diagnostics ability along with your mechanical. But then I've seen guys that can't do the mechanical, but they can do the electrical. So that's why you got specialties in shops now instead of, you know, one guy doing everything.
And if he was ever going to have an aspiration to be a manager or something, one of those places, you know, on repairs and that, you need to know both. But I've had bosses tell me, oh, I don't need to know how to do it. I just need to know who to tell to do what. And I just never could buy that. But I guess they don't go by my rules. But I had an executive vice president offer me a bossing job one time, and I said, I'll take the electrical. But I said, I don't feel right telling mechanics what to do. No, they wanted you to do both. And it just wasn't my cup of tea.
Like I said, it's not everybody's, and I've had good managers that they didn't know anything about a car, but they knew how to work the process and knew how to take care of people and get the most out of people. So I've seen good and bad on both sides of it, and I've had guys that were knew a lot about a car, and they were crappy managers.
They don't go by Ralph's rules, so I can understand that. Hey, I gotta run upstairs and get some milk for this strawberry shortcake and homemade ice cream that Bernice just brought down. So you're gonna have to take second fiddle for a while. So I'll let you go. You be safe out there. KO4HKX in 0TR.
Hey, Miss Bernice, enjoy the sweets there, and I'll talk to you on down the log. KO4HKX, mobile.
Okay, mobile.
Same. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I hope you are. I was just riding along using my 2 ears instead of my one mouth. Enjoying the conversation about cars, but I don't have anything to add.
Could have come in there. We were just carrying on conversation about nothing, really. Hope you've had a good day.
It's a quiet day. I heard Bob on there talk to he and Tom for a few minutes. Talked to Bob later, MD7J. I guess he lost all his antennas. He's getting them, starting to work, getting them back up again. But other than that, the repeater was pretty quiet.
I didn't hear much on it today. I was busy, but I just didn't have a lot of opportunity because it's real short drives today over there and going to the highway. To get on.
Put your call out there, and you're pulling into the next driveway.
Hey, Bob, testing there, which was good to hear. I hadn't heard him on the air in quite a while.
Heard he had some damage up there, but it sounds like he's putting up all new antennas. I guess he lost them all, maybe.
Took a lot of damage. I talked to him somewhere. I don't remember where, but he had trees fall on him, most all of his towers and everything, so he took a lot of damage to his radio antennas. But I'm glad to hear that he's getting it all situated and getting back on the air.
Good to hear him again. Hey, can I give you a phone call?
KO4HKX, clear.
Okay, and good evening, Tom, if you're listening, and Bernie, and 4ZLK, clear.
Phone call, Patrick, are you Shane in 0TR?
Had to get a phone call from me.
Oh, well, go ahead, guys. I'm just getting ready to dip into this homemade ice cream and strawberry shortcake. And she's making a pumpkin pie upstairs. Eat your heart out, Shane.
Well, here to stop by and get what you would normally get Patrick tomorrow.
He's usually on Thursday, but I don't know. Have you got any eggs, Mom? Gosh, you might have if you want to stop by.
Today. And not the eggs, just whatever goodies you always give them.
Sometimes, if his timing's right, he hits the jackpot.
Enjoy that strawberry shortcake. Let me make this phone call here. Tom, if I don't talk to you, have a good evening. N02RN4ZLK.
Okie doke, Shane. I hollered at you a little earlier, but I was pretty early. And Bernice was still upstairs. Take care. Missed talking to you. In 4ZLK in 0TR.
Other KG4 PFI.
I'm a snoot in the trough right here, Don. Go ahead.
Get away from her. I had a phone call.
I guess you and the other fellow there cleared out while I was talking.
Well, Shane, come on. And he drives a UPS truck, and then he heads home about this time of night. And then Patrick was who I was talking to, another good friend, and he's KL4HKX, and Shane's in 4ZLK. And they were going to call each other, Don. But jump in there with us anytime. We just jaw about any old thing and love to hear you.
You're talking about them commode engines. You know what that is, don't you? Commode engine.
Not made me choke on my strawberry here. No, it was a Camaro.
Boat engines, when you crank it up, the speedometer goes one direction and the gas can goes the other direction. It's like flushing the commode.
That reminds me of a story my daughter told me here a while back. She was going to high school, and I had a 55 first series Chevrolet truck, so still 6 volts for the first 6 months out of 1955. Anyways, that thing liked to eat speedometer cables for some reason. And so the speedometer wasn't working. And if it did, it just went back and forth. And she was, it had a 3-speed hertz shifter that I had put in it. And she was tooting along pretty good there out by the high school. And a cop stopped her. And he wanted to know how fast she thought she was going. And, boy, the sweat broke out, I'm sure, because she didn't know. But she didn't want to tell him that she didn't have a speedometer. And it was Bill Murray. And Bill looked at her driver's license and said, "Oh, you're Tom's daughter." And she said, "Oh, well, yes, that's my dad." And, well, you better slow it down a little bit, Shelly. And he let her go.
Speedometer cable. Yeah, I had a few of them to go bad too over the years there. These little plastic gears they put on the other end or one end of them, I had one of them strip out. That's the reason they didn't work.
Denise got stopped one time hauling grain for her mama. And Denise, you want to get this and then that way you can set it to your liking. And speed limit back then, the Highway Patrol got her for a 61 and a 55, if you can believe that. A brand new Scottsdale truck, Chevrolet. And Bernice told him I was going 55. My wife's extremely quiet. I'm surprised she even told him that. And he wrote her a ticket. So I said, "No, we ain't paying that. You go to court." And first of all, I went out and took my car and drove beside of her and clocked her, and sure enough, at 55, it was running, let me see, I think that's the way it went, it runs 61. So, I went up to the Chevrolet dealer in Fort Scott, Kansas, where her mom had bought that new truck, and they verified that that was the wrong plastic gear, wrong color. And they put the right color one in there. I guess there were different colors. So she took it to court, and I didn't go with her. I should have. I think I'd have went to jail first, Don. And the judge said, "Okay, we'll dismiss the speeding charge." But he said, "You got to pay $13 court costs." Back then, that was pretty good, but it made me madder than a hornet.
Didn't go with her. You probably was gotten arrested when you got there. I'm just joking.
I might have, because I'd have probably spoke up out of turn.
Oh, mate, I heard you talking about them big old engines that guy's putting in the Camaro and all that kind of stuff. Sounds like you was mechanically inclined in your past years.
Is he drives a Matco truck, and they have all those real fine tools for mechanics, and he goes around to all of these different places around this area and Traveler's Rest and Easley. I don't know where all he goes, but they got tools for real mechanics, you know. They're not Harbor Freight stuff like we use. And I was an electrician and electronic technician, industrial, all my life, Don. And numbering a sack full of rocks, I do know some about mechanics, but I know more about the electrical than I do, by far, than mechanical stuff.
I'm just the opposite. I know more about the mechanics end of it, I guess, than the electrical end of it. When I was in the Air Force, I was a jet engine mechanic. I worked on the old B-52 and the B-47 and the U-2 and a few others. But after I got out of the service, I started piddling around with cars. And me and a friend of mine, we built a few engines. But you know how that goes. I'm too old to do that now. I couldn't even figure out which end of the screwdriver to use.
Me both, Don. Both of those were absolutely fascinating airplanes. That and the SR-71, just the metallurgy was fascinating in that U-2. They had one land once in a while at an air base that I was on. I never did see it, but I think they'd bring it in there at night and take it out at night. But I know it'd go down at the end of the runway, the guy said. And it was a 10,000-foot runway. But, yeah, those were something else. I went to A school in the Navy with I went to boot camp with this guy. And that's what he aspired to be, was a jet mechanic. And I guess he went, he was from New Mexico, if I remember rightly. And him and some other kids swiped a car and went joyriding. And you know, he thought he was going to be a jet mechanic when he got out of boot camp, and they was going to let him do it, and they had to drop him from it because he had to have a secret clearance in order to be a jet mechanic. And after that joyride, he had that, you know, had broke the law, and I guess that's a felony.
I got to see a SR-71 take off one time on our base, and you're talking about loud. Goodness gracious, that thing had the tailpipes on that thing. It was a pencil point blue flame, came way out the back end of it when it was taking off, and that thing was loud.
Yeah, and they said they leaked fuel all over the runway as they taxied out, and then they take off and they go up. And a KC-135 would refuel them. And then when they got up to speed, they swelled up so much it stopped all of those leaks. And the other thing that was unique about them was that they used JP-7. And the only fuel that I'm ever familiar with was the carrier plane was Avgas. It was 115, 145. And these general aviation planes fly on 100 low lead now. But then they had JP-4 and JP-5. So every place that SR-71 went, there had to be a squadron that was capable of fueling them with that JP-7.
High octane, I think. JP-4 is what we were running in our B-47s and the old B-52. But I tell you a little something funny there. When I first got in the service and I got stationed at my home base, you know, they give you details, and they told me, go down to the, and pick up a lawnmower, said, the grass outside the shop there needs to be cut, and it was thick, it was about a foot deep, nobody hadn't cut it, and I don't know when, and I went down there and got a lawnmower, and I went down there, and I didn't have no gas, so I went around behind the shop down there, and they had three big containers, big tanks, sitting up there, and one of them was aviation fuel. And so I said, I put that in there. That'd make that lawnmower go good. And I put that in there. I was out there cutting grass, and I had a string tied to the lawnmower carburetor so I could pull it so I'd make it, you know, wide open. That thing was cutting, and all of a sudden it started blowing sparks out the tailpipe of the out the exhaust. And the whole thing just quit, and it melted the piston in it. I know that's what it done. And I took it back down there, and the guy said, "What'd you do to this thing?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I was just cutting grass with it, and it just quit."
Smart man. Well, I heard the guys, I never seen it and wasn't a witness to it, but I heard the guys doing that and putting it in their cars to make them go better, and it burned the valves out of them, Don. It was 115, 145 aft gas.
We had a guy, though, that was, he was stealing fuel to put in his car, and they knew he was, they couldn't catch him at it. So one day, he went out through there and he had some. He had put it in his car, and it was an old Dodge that he had. And he went down the road in it, and that next morning, he didn't show up. He didn't have a way to get back to work, I guess. He lived off the base. And finally, we found out what happened. He got about halfway home, and he burnt the valves out of it, and he didn't have a way to get back.
What they said it done was burn the valves out of them. That's some hot stuff. That's what we used in the S2 that I flew in, and it used 765 gallons of it to top it off.
Oh, well, I never did do anything like that. At one time, we had a plane in the hangar way down on the other end of the base there, and it had to go down there and change the engines. We had, that thing had six engines on it, and we had to change two of the engines. And I didn't want to walk all the way down there, so we went down and drove our cars down there next to the fence, and we were going to climb over the fence, and we could get to the hangar quicker. And I climbed over the fence, and I was running out through there to get down to the hangar, and there was something in the grass there, and I didn't know what it was. And I jumped over it, and it was a skunk. And I didn't get sprayed, but the boy behind me, he didn't smell right the rest of the day.
GR. And I'm telling you, that stuff will make your eyes burn. I had a buddy that had a 57 Ford, and we was out hunting one day, and I did not see what he was going to shoot at. And he said, stop, Tom. And, well, no, he was driving. He stopped the car and stuck the rifle out the window. And he shot, and he missed it. So he jumped out of the car, and there was a little berm out there a few yards out. And he chased this thing, whatever it was, over that berm where I couldn't see him. And here he come walking back, and he had that dang skunk by the tail, Don. And when he got within about 15 or 20 feet of that car, my eyes started burning. And I said, "You ain't putting that thing in this car, Bill." And name was Bill Wheeler. I'll never forget. "Well, why not?" I said, "My God, Bill, can't you smell that?" "No, I don't smell nothing." "So I guess once you get it on you, you don't know it." And I said, "Well, you get up on the front fender there on the hood." And I said, "We're going home." And I mean, I drove right down the highway and right down the street with him on the front bumper of that all the way home, Don.
I don't blame you. I'll tell you another ending of that story I told you about climbing over the fence down there to get to that hangar to work on that aircraft. I decided I wasn't going to do that no more after that skunk was down there. So these other boys said, "Oh, we're going down there. We ain't going to walk all the way down there." I said, "Well, I'll hitch a ride on a forklift or something. I'll get down there, but I ain't climbing that fence no more. It had barbed wire at the top of it." They went down there and climbed over that fence, and guess what was on the other side? Two military policemen were standing there with rifles. rifles, and they had already found out that we were climbing over that fence, and they was waiting on them. They didn't get me, but they got them.
That's a bad day. Yeah, you don't want to do that. The dangest fence I ever saw, my nephew, he's a pilot for American Airlines now, he took me on McConnell Air Force Base there in Wichita. And at that time, they had the B-1 bombers, and they were hot out on the line with nukes on board. Two of them, I think it was, or three, on standby. Ready alert, they called it, I think. And as we drove by that fence, there were signs. You're hearing shooting in the background. That's Bernice watching the FBI. Turn it down a little if you can. So, anyways, there were signs on that fence that lethal force is authorized. Well, that fence had Constantino wire on it, and then there was a spot in between it of about, 10 yards, I'd say. And there was microwave dishes ever so many yards all the way around the perimeter of this. And I asked Steve what that was, and he said, that's the nuclear bombs out there. And there was bunkers, and just one after another. And they had grass growing on them. And he said, look upon the hill behind it. And it says, do not stop. You could not stop driving by that. And I never saw anything like it in my life. It was Air Force Base. And I looked upon the hill there, and there was two of those. They looked like SWAT vehicles to me. And he said, if you stop, they'll be down to that fence real quick. And then on the other side, they had German Shepherds, Don. Now, that was a fence.
Yeah, we had those things on our base, too, the base that I was on. It was a SAC base, Strategic Air Command base. But I'll tell you one more funny here, and then I'm going to get off of here. My wife said I had to go do something. I don't know what it is, but I guess I better go do it. We went out and changed the engines on a B-47, and of course, that's an old airplane. They don't even fly that thing anymore, but we got the engine changed. We had to start it up and run it, check it all out and everything. We started it up. Well, it spit a little bit of fuel out the tailpipe, and it kind of poured out the tailpipe and went down on the ground, and it caught on fire. But it was just a little bitty fire. It was, wasn't nothing. Well, the fire trucks were standing by, and that guy jumped off that fire truck, and he rolled out about, I don't know how many feet of hose, and he was just going nuts. And the old boy was with me, just took his ball cap. Boy, it was a ball cap. It was a hat we wore, a cap. Air Force cap. He took that cap over and just went, hit it, and it just blowed it right out. And that guy done rolled all that hose out. We got to laughing at him, and I don't think he liked us at all after that.
The 52 engine were J57s. That stuff's about like diesel. Now, the fumes on, if you get the fumes going, they'll blow. I made the mistake of, I had a squirt bottle of, like a Dome bottle that your dishwasher soap comes in. And I would take that and spray it in to the stove that I built. And the stove was 4 foot high, 4 foot deep, and 2 foot wide. And I had 6 2.5-inch conduits running through it for a heat exchanger and twin blowers. I built it myself. It was all quarter-inch steel. So it had burnt down, and that was my ham radio shop in my garage. So when I got home, I shot, I think that was when we went to Wichita and come back on a Thanksgiving weekend. When I come back, I squirted some of that back in there, not realizing there were still some hot coals in there, and it was diesel. Well, it started fuming, and I thought, well, I better get behind this door, and the door was made out of half-inch steel that I had made, and I throwed a match in there, and I'm telling you, Don, that blowed up like gasoline. I didn't realize that diesel was that explosive. Of course, I was young, But boy, you get the fumes off of it, it'll go. And by the way, there's a B-47 out at the, I think they call it the Continental Airport there at, can't remember for sure, but it's the Wichita main airport there, the civilian airport, and there is a B-47 sitting out there, Don.
Down in the lower part of the state, too, at a museum down there, too. But I got to get out of here, but I'm going to tell you one more. Well, you was right about the J-57. That's what the Pratt & Whitney engines, that's what was on the B-52. It had a twin spool compressor on it, but the old J-47 only had one compressor. But anyway, what I was going to tell you, I went out there one day, and me and another boy went out, and we was checking this engine out, and I was standing ground, and he was up in the cockpit running the engine, and I had to make an adjustment on the fuel, so it wouldn't accelerate up to 100%. But after I did the adjustments, it was okay. So he was sitting there running it idle, and I told him, I said, okay, we're done, you can shut it off. Well, I looked at the, up on the side of the engine up there, there was a plate, and it's got a little mechanical arm thing that moved up and down that it told you it was off, and then didn't start and all that stuff. It was a data plate. It was made on there from the manufacturer. Yeah, I think General Electric made that engine. Well, somebody, that plate, it was missing, and somebody had made one, and they put it on there. And that plate, that plate said off and on and 50%. And then they had used a hammer and made, hammered in the numbers in there with one of those plate, one of those things that you can use to make the numbers. Anyway, it was an aluminum plate, and it was sitting up there, and it was pop riveted on there, I guess. And the funny part about it was when it got up, it said 100%, and then after that it said, all she'll do.
Shoot. Yeah, I used to watch those B-47s and B-52s out there in Wichita. That's where they build them at. And you'd go down Oliver Street, and all you could see was the big tails of those B-52s sticking up over the side of that. They had coverings on the chain link fence, but you could sure see those tails sticking up there, Don.
Yeah, I know, Tom, I used to watch them when they took off. They didn't take off like normal. The front end didn't raise up real much when they took off. The back end came up, and then they just went up kind of funny looking. The old B-47 didn't do that. But well, I got to get off of here. It's not too far from the net time, and I guess my jaw muscles need some WD-4 on them. I've been running them too much. Take care of yourself, Tom. I always enjoy talking with you. Take care of yourself. KG4PFI, clear.
Okay, Don, nice talking to you and reminiscing. I got a picture of a B-52 when they was testing them out there. I don't know how many of them they had this way, but it had fluorescent orange up on the nose and back on the elevators and the tail back there. And I think it's still on Bernice's computer up there. People don't believe me. I seen it. I took a picture of it with a little 126 Kodak camera with slide in it. And I still got that slide. Anyway, take care, Don. KG4PFI and 0GR73.